for, back in September, Mr. Baker asked our office to look into the possibility of working with DENREC to help local residents apply for FEMA grant assistance. I think he'd had several inquiries into this possibility. The engineering department in the past has worked with this. I think it's probably 10 or 12 years ago. DENREC requires that a local governing body apply for and administer these funds, and that's kind of what we're here for. I met with Mike Powell from DENREC, and he went over the program and guidelines, and I'd actually like him to come up in a minute or two, because he can answer the questions a little better than I can. From my understanding, this would primarily benefit people who have flood insurance, who have reoccurring flood damage, usually through a project like Raising the Home. I think the thought is that it's just more economically feasible for FEMA to pay for the problem, to fix the problem, than it is to just continue paying flood claims. The grant works just on a yearly basis, so we would probably have a cutoff date. The grant's due in December. There's certain requirements that are included. Having flood insurance is one of them, having federal flood insurance. You have to have a documented history of flood damage, site elevation by a surveyor to determine how high the property would have to be raised, and we need cost estimates to see if this would be feasible. DENREC then takes this information, plugs it into a formula to see if they would be eligible to apply. If they are eligible, the homeowner is required to pay 25% of the cost, and the FEMA grant covers the other 75% of the cost. If I could have Mike Powell come up, he can give you the details. We're really just here to get some direction from the council to see if you wanted to pursue this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And you're with FEMA?
I'm with the Delaware Department of Natural Resources.
Okay, Delaware. Okay, DNRC. Okay.
Yeah. I think Brad's explanation was right on.
Well, I got a question for you. This came up a couple of years ago, and I was, I'm not always suspicious of these kind of programs that how much really effect they're going to have. And I think the 25-75 split was arbitrarily determined here at the county level. That's not something that's in the
federal grant requires that non-federal funding be at least 25% of the cost of the project. So could be more.
Right, because when you do it this way, there's only a certain amount of public funds available, and when you're taking 75% each time for somebody to raise some private guy's house, and I think did they open it up to manufactured homes also?
There's nothing about the grant that would prohibit protecting a manufactured home.
But I'm just saying if it was like a 50-50 split, you could raise more houses.
That's right. And there's nothing, as long as the non-federal share is at least 25%.
Right. But I just think it seems too much of a public giveaway of public funds, my tax dollars, everybody's tax dollars, to help one individual property owner when there's probably everybody down that whole string of, bayfront properties are all affected by it. And if you could raise more, if somebody came along and said, I'll raise your house and I'll give you half of it, that sounds like a good deal. But to 75% sounds like Santa Claus or something.
Just two thoughts on that. The federal funding that goes into this grant comes out of the flood insurance program. So there actually are no tax dollars going into the program. It is essentially the National Flood Insurance Program charging its policyholders a small fee that goes into a national program to protect the ones that are making a lot of claims on their flood insurance. The other comment is that the eligibility criteria are pretty stringent for this program. They have to have really had a severe and repetitive flooding problem, so it's actually pretty difficult to find properties that would qualify for it. That's been our experience.
Well, the one that I recognize on here does not have flood insurance and wouldn't be eligible anyway. So,
which one?
Well, one of them in my district.
Oh. Well, I don't know. I just think that, when the benefits that an individual is getting and of only having to come up with 25% to have his house raised, and it's a waterfront house, and many of these are very expensive locations at times, and I don't know. I didn't like it the last time, and I'm not real crazy about it this time, but I think that we ought to make the percentages balanced out differently. I just don't see it being.
Does Kent County participate?
Kent County has done a few projects. The vast majority of projects done in Delaware under this program have been in Newcastle County, along some of the creeks up there.
What kind of percentage do they utilize?
I would say historically, probably 90% of the grants that have been done under this program have been done with a federal share of 75% and a non-federal share of 25%, typically the property owner. The other ones have been done at a 50-50 cost-sharing ratio for exactly the reasons that Councilman Cole mentioned, to just spread the grant dollars further.
Right.
Well, yeah, like I said, many times these are... like in Rehoboth Beach, Marshall's Road, Long Neck. These are waterfront properties. These are expensive. These are basically affluent landowners, typically. And for the government to be spending 75%, you know, grants on these kind of properties is worrisome to me. So I just think that it's just another government program that seems awful generous.
This comes through the flood insurance program. It's a federal program. It's not costing the county anything.
Correct.
Somebody's got to pay for it.
Nobody. Well, I pay flood insurance, and a part of my flood insurance is going to help pay for this.
You're paying for it.
Exactly.
Anybody who pays flood insurance, and
there's thousands and thousands of people who pay for it.
Do you want to make a motion to change the formula to something
equitable? I lost out in the last round of this thing, but I think at least a 50-50 would be more appropriate.
You've got a Republican council now.
That's still being very generous, and I just think it's...
I have a motion to make it a 50-50 split. Is there a second?
And I'm sure I'll hear from a lot of people. And guys, I want you to know, most of these people live down in my area.
Okay.
So...
Oh, all right.
I just...
A motion and a second to direct... Mr. Whaley to work with DENREC and the authorities above to make a program that has a 50-50 equitable split in the cost share. Is that satisfactory? Everything's within your parameter?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it still meets everything the guidelines, right? And we'll get more, there'll be more money available for more people to raise their houses, right? So there's going to be more, you could have a list that have more names on it, possibly, right?
The other thing I wanted to mention is I think that a lot of these properties that are on this list might also be eligible for some kind of a drainage improvement. So I don't want to make it sound as if raising a house on a higher foundation is the only flood protection that mm-hmm. can be provided by this grant. Drainage improvements, some kind of regrading that will keep the water from getting into the houses is also a possibility. And we would work with Brad and the county to determine on a site-by-site basis what the most appropriate form of flood protection is. It wouldn't necessarily always be raising the house on a higher foundation if some kind of a drainage solution.
I live on the water, and I knew it when I lived on the water and bought the property that, you know, I'm taking a certain risk. And to always have, you know, the federal government bailing me out, it just is not appropriate in my mind. So, I mean... all these people purchased homes, most of them, I'm sure one or two didn't realize it, but that they were in an area that had, you know, with high water tables and all this other stuff. So it's not like they're just finding out about it. It's something that you live with when you live near the water. And anyway, I just think if we split the formula, we'd give more people an opportunity to raise their houses or fix their problems.
I've got people that are having problems with flooding, and they're not in wealthy districts, you know, and you've got Oak Orchard, I've got Harbison, and I have Indian Town Farms, and some of the houses are sitting in 2 feet of water right now.
But they may not be in flood zones.
They may or may not, right. But at least give them an opportunity
to recover. What federal flood zones does it cover?
It really isn't based on what flood zone they're in. It's really down to the site-specific amount of damage that they've been occurring.
But you know,
FEMA recognizes that their flood zone maps do not accurately depict properties that are actually flooding in every instance.
But they change.
But the flood insurance is only given to people in certain flood zones.
No, anyone can buy it. It's just the banks don't require it unless you're in a flood zone.
All right.
Can I ask you a question about flood insurance? If you've had a flood, can you buy flood insurance
after the
future?
Yeah, the flood that's one of the reasons.
No pre-existing condition?
That's right. No pre-existing conditions. And one of the reasons that they've turned to these kinds of grant programs is because as an insurance program, The federal flood insurance program has very limited ability to raise rates or deny insurance for these high-risk structures, so they find it, as Brad said in his introduction, more effective to try to just solve the problem.
Save money.
So you're saying everybody that's on this list that we just saw have high incidences? Or, I mean...
Not reoccurring. No, some of these are just the local, this particular winter, you know, they're just in bad, low spots that it's received flooding. Probably half are in coastal flooding areas. I think that November, the north.
But I thought I heard earlier that you had to have an incidence or show that there's been a numerous claims have been made in these houses in the past. To and get on this list,
exactly.
But that's not necessarily
no, this,
true.
This list, it was created by actual constituent contacts. One of the first things we would do if council authorizes me to work with the county would be to look into each one of these properties to see if they would qualify for the grant.
Mr. Lekates.
Just to explain, first of all, that according to this, when we were contacted, it won't be able to apply till December for the next round, funding round. Not that we're looking for a lot more work, because you can see Randy and Brad are really busy. But we were asked to start a names, and this is what you see in front of you. Just a list that people have had problems with flooding, and to begin a dialogue with the council. And then Rack, to whether you want us to proceed with these names or to put it on the back burner. It's entirely up to you. At this point, we're just doing the names and then see how many we need and how much we need to apply through their program.
Has there been any ad in the papers or any notices given for people to...
There's people all over.
To, that this program is out there?
No, we haven't put any ads in the paper.
No, because this is kind of just initiated in the last month or so.
Will there be? Will there be any notification?
If you would like, I guess, to...
Do they typically notify? How's an individual supposed to know about this?
I believe the county has been doing a pretty good job, as well as the Denrec Drainage Section, in investigating the hundreds and hundreds of phone calls that we've received about the flooding problem. So the outreach has kind of been people who have... the severe flooding problems have contacted us.
They're
and
not
the
quite.
Calls that you get this week as a result of this meeting are still going to be considered.
Well, I would still suggest that I'd run a notice.
You're going to get
in a couple of the papers. And the other thing, do you have any comment on, with us changing this formula, that you see any negative or any change in the program, or will it have any?
That won't affect anything except the cost sharing.
Yeah.
Just the cost. Okay.
All right. We have a motion on the floor. Any other discussion?
Yes, I just wanted to make note that one of the problems we had with the program in the past was the amount of administrative time that county staff ended up spending on it. However, the way we intend to address that, if the council supports the program, would be we would use local architects or engineers to try to coordinate these projects and manage the project, and that would be a cost attributed to the grant and attributed to the property owner, so that the county staff will not be overburdened with following up with each project. And part of the goal was, you know, we would also help individuals with these individual problems and also provide some work for local contractors and whatnot.
No doubt.
And you said some of it's going to be used for drainage too, right?
Can be.
Potentially.
Oh, okay.
Can be.
I heard that.
Yeah.
That would be good.
We're going to take the vote. Ms. Deaver.
I can't vote for the 50-50, no, because a lot of the people in my district are very, they're not wealthy like they are in George's district, and they really do need help, and this has been a recent problem, and one of them in particular has had flooding in the house since November, and Denrec can't... put in the new drain fields because one of the members of the community is against it. So Denrec can't do anything. Their hands are tied. At least, I can't vote for 50-50. No, no way.
What's your vote? No, I'm kidding. Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes, because I think it since we don't do any means testing, I think it shares the benefits of a program like this to benefit more people. So more people will be able to take advantage of this and get their hands raised up from this program.
You've already told us all that.
I'm just getting it on the record.
Mr. Vincent?
I
Give a reason when you vote, Sam.
Mr. Vincent, how's the floor?
I agree with Councilman Cole. I do think it makes sense. We can help more people. I appreciate people who are on low income. We can maybe help more of those people.
Right.
But we'll help better off we are, so I would guess.
As I have often said lately, if the government's, if the federal government's going to throw money out the window, we'd be foolish not to catch as much of it as we can. I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
The motion was to change the ratio to 50-50.
That's correct.
Okay.
You want to change your vote?
No. But I want the program.
Program's still in effect. Yeah, it didn't affect the program. Just check, we just changed it.
I didn't vote against the program.
No, what said you did?
Just the motion to change the...
But now no money's going to go into your district.
Before they leave, could I ask one question?
Get out of here.
Vance, could I...
Get out of here.
Just a minute, Ms. Cooper. Mr. Cole?
Yeah, the man from DNRC. Do you have any estimate how many homes were benefited from the last program in Sussex County? That this program helps? 16 homes? Okay. Thank you.
Is that going to break your bank?
No, but all I can tell you is when we have major flooding, your thousands of homes are affected. And we've helped 16 homes. Maybe we'll get another. It does not do a whole lot, in my opinion, to, you know, change the costs of the impacts of flooding on our area.
Yeah, it does bring some money in the local economy,
though. It helps a few of the homes and might take years.
We take the money on drains, we do a lot of good.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Cooper,
thank you.
Please. Take control.
16.
Sussex County Engineering held a bid opening last Friday, March 26th, for the Harris Alley parking improvements. This is the long-awaited parking expansion behind our building one block away.
There's a key word, long-awaited.
That's hyphenated. We had 7 bids. They ranged from $85,187 to $160,296. I did pass out an exhibit last Friday into your packets that listed the bids received.
Smyrna.
And I'm here to ask to have our bid award granted.
Damn.
Go for it.
Any questions?
No, go for it. Low bid, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I have a motion.
Yes, I have a motion. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that Sussex County Project 0408, Harris Alley Parking Improvements, be awarded to Ralph Cahill and Son Paving, Incorporated of Smyrna, Delaware, at the bid amount of $85,187.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the bid award. It was read by Ms. Cooper. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper.
It will not take as long to build this as it has been.
Where will they start?
September.
Engineering
will be
takes a lot of long, hard work, doesn't it, Mike? Tell us.
Sometimes. Here, come, next thing, another engineer comes up. Next thing we got
slow to. But good.
We have Patty Deptula on the agenda next.
It's hard to draw all those little lines in there with a pencil.
And
erase them and redraw them.
Mr. President.
Yes, Mr.
Prior to her starting her presentation, she did ask me to submit a legal opinion or give a legal opinion to council concerning the vote that took place. As you recall, there was a public hearing on the extension of the street lighting district. During that public hearing, there was some, it appeared that there were quite a few people here in favor of and people in opposition to the expansion. So Mr. Cole requested, and Ms. Deaver, I believe, also joined in that, wanting to see if we could take some kind of a poll of the district or have a vote of the people that would be affected. Subsequent to that, Ms. Deptula did follow through with the council's request. There was a vote taken. However, if you look at the statute concerning the expansion of district, expansion of districts only, they get expanded through a request to engineering and then a public hearing. If you start a new one, there is a vote, and then based on that vote, you're mandated to follow that vote. So in this case, the vote was not mandatory. nor did are the results mandatory. So in effect, my legal opinion is that the vote that was taken was just part of that public hearing process. The record not being closed at that time specifically, it remained open for the purpose of the vote. And talking to Ms. Deptula, some of the same formalities were not adhered to that you would normally adhere to in a vote if it was for establishment of a brand new district. For example, there was not a requirement that absentee ballots have notarization. Ballots were just sent out in a letter with a return envelope. So for purposes of your consideration, since it was a continuation of that public hearing, you should consider what you heard at that public hearing. And the And the results of that vote could also be considered as part of the record that you can consider to give you an indication of what the feeling is of the people there. But so it is not a mandatory.
Non-binding vote.
Right.
Okay. Part of all the information we got that day.
Well, based on Mr. Moore's legal opinion, I would ask that I did give you the package on Friday with the vote count. It was 54 yes, 50 no. Yeah, 104 eligible votes. There's 175 improvements. I haven't done a recount since last December, but that's what it was in December.
That's the way that I have, right?
For some direction from the council.
If I can add something.
Yes.
Patty went down. She did a great job. She went down. She had met with the people on a Saturday, had a public meeting, got a lot of feedback. The vote has turned out to be very close. In our opinion, I think Patty would agree with me, if we reduce the number of lights to be added, I think the support would be greater than the 54 to 50. So when you are taking, again, this is just our opinion, having dealt with the people in the neighborhood, but rather than adding 16, is it 16, Patty, or 22?
20.
Rather than adding 20 lights, if the number was reduced to 10 or something like that, you might see more support from the community. And also, you know, the rates would be a little lower as well, because that's what.
But who would pick?
For.
Who would pick, Mike, those locations? I mean, because there can still be some contention with, no matter what you do, probably. Right?
And the first time Patty did it, it was the homeowners association president picked the location, and
the electric company
and the electric company too, but. And we're just trying to give you an idea, some guidance. You know, this is going to be a tough decision. It's 54 to 50.
Oh, yeah.
I was hoping it would be 60 to 30 or 30 to 60.
How many could have voted?
There was 175 improvements that I counted last December.
175? So quite a few didn't vote.
Right.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway,
so you can read that anyway. The other thing would be then, Mike, did we have, when you said the Homeowners Association president and the
It was a board member, actually, not the president.
Board member. Yes. Okay.
So we have one person.
One person. Okay. Did the electric company come up with something separate, or was it in?
No, we worked in conjunction with each other. We all rode around together several times and looked at everything.
So if we were to reduce the number, then we have a lot more work.
Well,
we've got to
go back find out.
We go back through the process again
a little bit.
So.
I don't know. Street lights don't seem to be such a threatening thing in most people's lives. It's mostly perceived as positive in my experience.
One thing I failed to point out was that I did receive a letter today, actually, from the president at their Homeowners Association meeting that I attended. They requested that if it was to be approved by you guys, that they not include the relocation of that one street light. And that would lower cost overall.
Which one was that?
At the entrance?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I told them that, you know, they could send a letter and I would submit it to you guys to look at.
Not relocate it, leave it where it is.
Exactly.
At Jerry Anderson, that's from.
Right.
Do you have a recommendation?
See, we want to blame it on you.
I plead the fifth.
That's all you.
Those darn engineers. We could. Our hands were tied.
If this was an actual election, you would go by majority. But since this is not an official election, and you basically wanted to see if there was significant interest, the significant part is on you guys.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll make a motion for you. I'll make a motion we approve the Lockwood Street Lighting District modifications.
I'll make a second.
Moving the entrance light, leaving it as is the entrance. That would be the only modification from that. But I'll make a motion based on the fact that the testimony was very close and contentious in a way, but it was it seemed that we did have some public opinion that showed that there was a majority of the people that did support who responded to our request.
Mm-hmm. I'll second that.
I'll need to come back with a resolution according to the code.
Well, we want to go ahead and see if this, this is kind of a sentiment of the council motion. Do you guys understand? I think this is non-binding, excuse me. But this would give our engineering department some direction as to where to go from here. A motion and a second to approve it without the entrance. Like, any further discussion? Okay, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
Mr. President?
Yes, Mr.
Since we were on the issue of the street lighting, and as part of this process, looking at the two ways that you're approved, first, if it's to create a new one with an actual vote, and then if you expand it with a meeting, I think that might be to our advantage to maybe discuss with engineering department whether or not that county code section needs to be changed and just have a vote in each case, even for an expansion, because it did create some confusion as to the procedures, and talking to some of the people in the department, they seem to think that it does too, and maybe the best way to go is look at a potential amendment of that code section.
How many, my question would be, how many contentious ones like this do we have when we have expansions? Are they always this way, or does it seem like this is a rarity?
This one was one of the biggest I've ever had. I mean, yes, usually it's only been like one or two lights.
Exactly.
And it is a pretty large subdivision, too, so.
Would the process take longer with what, if we did change things?
No, it would expedite it, I think.
The current process is longer.
Right.
So what Mr. Moore is suggesting would be a little speedier.
Right, that we would have an actual election, and based on those results, then you guys could, you know, approve or defer.
All right, that's not a bad recommendation. I could support that. If there's a consensus to do that, we could maybe do that.
If there's no
objection. It's not a high priority, though, because we don't have that many problems, but it's something you could put on your little notebook.
Would sewer district expansions also be streamlined by a vote?
Expansions are a little different than this.
I would say the opposite for a sewer district expansion, because you're when we have a small expansion, it's a small group of people that are affected, and they come in and they speak their piece. Whereas because the districts are so big, you would have so many more people included into the process in voting on it. Now, I don't know if you could have a vote with just such a small amount of people affected, because sometimes it's 3 people, 5 people, 10 people.
Well, the difference is this.
Where if we included the whole, you know, I don't know if you would include the whole sewer district voting. You'd have a lot of people having to come in and go through the voting
process.
Yeah, so
you're talking about a subdivision that's already got street lighting, and we're just adding a few street lights. When we're doing a sewer expansion, you're going out to new areas. You're going out beyond the existing thing. So it's not. I don't think you could do that.
Well, with respect to the street lighting, Mr. Moore, I believe your recommendation is encouraged.
No, it's different.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Webb.
Thank you. First grant today, Clear Space Productions.
Is that a countywide?
Clear Cut? No, that's, I think they're down in Rehoboth. Aren't they down in Rehoboth?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll get $500.
Second.
Motion and second to allocate $500 from Mr. Cole's account to Clear Space Productions. Ms. Deaver?
And I would like to amend that, and I will give $250.
Okay. I'll second that amendment.
We're okay with that?
We're seconding it right up.
All right.
They're all for that. Get her broke quick.
Yeah, right.
$250 from Ms. Deaver, $500 from Mr. Cole. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carry.
Am I broke yet?
No.
No.
Okay.
Feral Friends of Millsboro.
$200 from my account, please.
$200 from my account. Because I do have some feral friends. Sam, raise your hand.
Are they all in Millsboro?
No, there's ones in Georgetown, outside Georgetown.
I have a motion and a second to give $200 from Mr. Phillips, $200 from Mr. Cole to Feral Friends of Millsboro. Any discussion?
I thought it was Future Friends.
Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries.
And the Lower Sussex NAACP.
Did they make an expense or a request?
They did. They need help on a mission sponsoring a trip to Rhode Island.
It's okay. What, three? Was how many students did they say was go? We're going 10 at 300.
Oh, they listed them.
I'll make a motion. We give $100 each.
Two, three, four.
You give your own money.
That'll pay for the gas. It's countywide.
It is a local youth council of that.
Well,
yes, it's like $60 a person. They've calculated the cost to be around $380
per person.
Per person?
No.
No, total.
60 per person, 60. 380 in total.
Per total.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what.
And this program's open to everybody?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I'll give $100.
That's $100 each. I said. Okay. Make a motion, $100 each. It's countywide.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Give $100 from each councilmanic account to the Lower Sussex NAACP Youth Council trip for trip expenses, which is open to everyone. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Introduction of proposed zoning ordinances.
Yes, Mr. President. I have three. First is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County,
oh,
containing 21,795 square feet, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Okay, thank you. The next is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a country market with barbecue, Amish meats, cheese, baked goods, and the sale of produce, nursery stock, flowers, ice cream, and items associated with gardening to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 3.32 acres, more or less, mm-hmm, of a 14.92 acre tract.
Okay, I'll make that. I'll introduce that.
Okay, and the last is an ordinance providing for a six-month moratorium on applications for casino and or gambling or gaming venues in Sussex County.
I'll introduce it.
Okay, that is all the ordinances, Mr. President.
All right. Motion to, yep, excuse me, additional business. We have Mr. Larry Calhoun.
There he is.
I'd just like to make my appearance this morning and thanking you all for the ordinance that puts a moratorium on the gaming here in Sussex County. How much water that's going to hold when it comes to state legislature, I don't know, but I like to commend a governmental organization when it does something right, and I also like to get on their backs when they do something wrong. My objection to gambling is it's nothing no more than a sneaky tax on poor people, and I've often used the fact that at Harrington Raceway, how many people do you see pulling in there, big Lincolns, Cadillacs, Rolls Royces, whatever, you know? Most of the time you see them in 1979 Ford LTDs with the vinyl top peeling off of it with the rusted out all around. These people do not need more access to more gambling. And I stand firm on that because all it is a poor people's tax. Now, some people might argue this might be a way of getting poor people to pay taxes. But nevertheless, I believe it runs against the threat of this country, basic things it was founded on, to raise money in this effort, just like the lottery and so forth. So that's my opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Calhoun.
Thank you. Now, you do realize that this is just a moratorium to draw up an ordinance that will permit them in this county,
right,
with certain restrictions, right? It's not, right, I didn't want you to think that we were outlawing them.
Right, and well, the restrictions, I would like for you to see, make them just as strict as you could.
Well, we'll have to address it through land use types of it, like sewer, water, roads, drainage, et cetera, not social issues, because we don't deal in, we can't do that in an ordinance.
Well, this is not a social issue with me. It's a
I'm just saying, because we're
always hearing about the poor people,
I understand.
And to me, this is an act against the poor people because, like I said, you don't see the rich people going to these places. So.
I do understand.
Thank you.
Well, point of clarification, this is to allow for the drafting of regulations for gambling that will be considered, but there's no guarantee they will be passed. So, we have an executive session for land acquisition. Could someone make that motion?
I have a question, if this is an open opportunity to
Okay, Ms. Deaver.
I withdraw my motion.
Thank you, Mr. Vincent.
This may be a housekeeping thing. I live on a road where houses have been built very, very close to the road, and there's no way that road's going to be expanded without having to take people's homes. And I don't know how that occurs. I don't know why we're not upholding our setbacks. Whatever it is we need to do to uphold our own regulations on setbacks from the roads, I'd like to do it, whatever it is.
The setbacks are 40 feet from an agricultural residential district, and if you're riding on a country road, 40 feet is awful close to the road.
But, but wait, Lawrence, tell them how they, I know along Route 1 there, going to Bethany Beach, how the planning and zoning on site plan approvals took, the slick land guys figured out that if they put homeowners association land along the highway, 5 feet, then the property line can be determined from that, and you can have homes as close as, what, 20, 30 feet?
Yeah, well, this has been 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't happened since. But it happened first on Route 1 because there wasn't any.
Yeah.
Everything was facing the ocean with access from Route 1, so there wasn't any people affected by it other than the traveling motors. So they created 10-foot or 20-foot landscape strips to separate the subdivision from the road, mostly for sound, to be able to buffer it with landscaping. And the only other subdivision that I can think of that happened to was Plantations.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came in and applied for Plantations on the east side, the west side seems to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
On the west side, they showed the same dedicated strip along Plantation Road, 10 or 15 feet, whatever it is, and then the lot lines created. So they left open space separating. So there wasn't a lot that backed up to the road that created an issue. So you end up with a 10-foot strip and a 10-foot setback, you're only 20
right.
feet off the right.
Mm-hmm.
So really, anyway, that happened probably 20.
Well, could it happen again? Could it happen again?
No, not the way the regulation is written now.
Okay.
The regulation was revised.
I thought you had said earlier that you needed some change
no,
to
we
be
haven't.
Made.
That's not happened for about 20 years, plus or minus.
We didn't really change anything to prevent it. They could theoretically look at one and say it's okay.
Now it's required that you have a 20-foot landscape buffer and the separation is still there.
Okay, so we will not see that occur again in the future. Okay.
Well, I have to agree with Mr. Moore. Driving down Route 9, looking at that's the vineyards. They're building one heck of a big building, and it does look very close to Route 9.
We've checked that one two or three times because I ride by when they're under construction before they enclose them. They even look closer for some reason, and I had the inspectors check.
Yeah, and just look.
It's over 60 feet off the road.
It's 60 feet off.
Over.
Okay, well, just checking. Thank you very much.
Not a problem.
Any other issues?
Now I'll make a motion.
Thank you.
Second.
To go into executive session for land acquisition. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Sam, you missed the boat.
Shoot.